Welcome, dear listeners, to this week's afternoon satsang. And as always, this is Prem from Team Radio Sai, being joined by Arvind, and we wish you a very happy Radio Day. Today happens to be the UNESCO's Radio Day, which was, I think, planned for since 2011, and 13th of February we just realized, and it's so wonderful that we are having a live broadcast on that day. So before we begin, we offer our most humble pranams to Bhagwan for giving us this opportunity to be on his radio, be on air and speak about him. It's indeed a wonderful, beautiful blessing. And to join me in this blessing, I invite Arvind. Sairam Arvind.
Sairam Prem. And you know, even as you were saying that it's a radio day and we have got this special chance to be on Swami's own radio, I was just thinking how wonderful my life has become ever since this Thursday life began.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we are doing Swami's work in the sense editing Swami's videos, editing Swami's audios, cleaning up, technical things. And so lost are we in our work. At least I can speak this for myself. So lost am I in doing the editing, taking the photos, cleaning them, you know, technical work that comes along. That many times, you know, when people accost me on the road and they say, hey, you know that article about, for example, Nelson, recently it happened, that article on Nelson Mandela, you know, this part I liked a lot. And they describe which part on Nelson Mandela that article they liked.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just blinking, you know, because I myself have not read that article. So much I realize that almost 60 to 70% of this content that appears on the Radio Sai website, I'm not aware of. In the sense, my excuse is I don't have the time to go through that. But this Thursday live has brought about such a beautiful thing because it makes every Wednesday and every Thursday so wonderful. Because on Wednesday, we are reliving all the content and material that we have to, you know, have as part of the afternoon satsang. Because of which, Wednesday becomes a beautiful day, which, you know, is officially part of my job. So here I am, I realize that almost 4 days a month, I'm being paid to listen about Swami and read about Swami. It's part of my official work. And truly work has become like worship because these Wednesdays and Thursdays, I find my heart celebrating so much of Swami's love, feeling so much of devotion for him. Invariably on a Wednesday or a Thursday, I happen to get Swami's dream. Because it's almost like how much time you give for God, God gives that much time to you. So currently, in the current scenario, God's way of giving time to me is via dreams. That's what I think. And I feel so wonderful and I'm so grateful to Swami for giving this opportunity where literally work has become worship. I mean, worship has become my work. So it's so beautiful and yes, so Radio Day is a special day, but at Radio Sai, it is extra special because of the word Sai that gets attached to radio.
I mean, absolutely, and the joy of being connected to Swami from any corner of the world. You know, even now many times when I'm sitting in the mandir, the very thought that somebody sitting in New Zealand, or somebody sitting in South Africa, somebody sitting in America, right across, is actually able to listen to that bhajan which is being sung here, you know, which is being offered to Swami here. And that is the joy of connecting people to Prashanthi Nilayam. And as I earlier in another show, I was saying that, you know, every huge corporate or each a company has a tagline or a you know, mission statement.
Mm.
I think if we could think of a mission statement, the best thing would be to connecting people to Prashanthi Nilayam. Because in everything which we do, radio or the website or the products which we bring out, I think that's what, whether we are trying to do or not, that's what we end up doing. Isn't it right?
And it also feels thrilling because, you know, today happens to be the day when we are taking up Satyam Shivam Sundaram. Another episode of Satyam Shivam Sundaram, and we have reached 1950. And today, dear listeners, will be the amazing story of the actual inauguration of the Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir. I am reminded of, you know, what Swami spoke during the inauguration of the Mandir. He described what is Prashanthi Nilayam. He said it will be the abode of supreme peace. And this peace will bring great joy. And he distinguished that joy from the other joys. He said it will not be like the joys and sorrows that keep alternating in your life. This is peace and joy that is based on something very deep and something that is permanent. And he said that this marks the day when Prashanthi Nilayam, this is just a symbolic edifice, but Prashanthi Nilayam will establish itself all around the globe. And having read about this declaration that Swami had done in 1950, and realizing that Radio Sai is one of the instruments through which Prashanthi Nilayam is being established around the world, I feel, you know, extremely privileged. I feel that all of us, you know, who have been connected to Radio Sai and Sai are so blessed, so beautiful that Swami has chosen us to be part of a beautiful mission where we can uplift ourselves, where we are actually benefiting ourselves, but getting credit for, you know, spreading positivity and joy in the world.
It's like a quote which I read long time ago in a book, you know, which says that don't bother about whose ears your words will find. Make sure the words you speak are, you know, filled with love and truth. And don't ask yourself who's going to benefit out of my work. Make sure that you do your work perfectly and it will reach the person whom it has to benefit, and that person will see the change which this work has to bring. And you know, that's exactly, I mean, you said that we are enjoying doing this. Sitting here, I'm sure more than thinking of who's listening to it or, you know, how people are enjoying it, the idea of going back and reading these narratives of Swami's life, and to imagine that, you know, even this morning when I was sitting in Mandir, I was thinking that this was the very Mandir about the inauguration about which I was reading. You know, the feeling that we were sitting right there where 65 odd years ago Swami stood and inaugurated that Mandir, and, you know, with all the fanfare which we are going to be describing now, the very thought that this was what happened and we are reading about it and we are talking about it, that gives us so much joy. But we know that it is Swami's duty to pick these waves and give it to those people who really need them. And Swami is making a beautiful change in those people who are listening to all these things.
Definitely, Prem. You were saying that we need not worry about who is listening. I often have felt that whenever, you know, we speak, the first beneficiaries and first listeners are ourselves. So in that sense, it is a very selfish thing that we are doing, because the ears closest to our lips are our own. And therefore, we get to hear these stories again and again. And so I love to do this, get involved in narrating Swami stories. And as you said, Swami has this way of picking the topic, picking the content that we have to speak here. And I'm saying this because, of course, Prem, you know, I'm referring to one beautiful feedback mail that we received. And we shall take that up probably in another satsang, because this is Satyam Shyam Sundaram. But dear listeners, just on behalf of Prem also, I would like to say that, you know, whenever you send us your feedback mail, whether it be criticism, whether it be how you have been impacted, how it has helped you, when we read all this, we read it with the feeling that it is Swami sending, because we see Swami in all the listeners. And whenever we receive constructive criticism, we take it to our heart, pray to Swami and try to imbibe it into our satsang. And whenever we see people writing to us telling that, you know, hearing this story of Swami, this narrative of Swami, this discourse of Swami made me feel so good, it helped me in my life, we feel so grateful to Swami first and to Swami in all of you. We feel so grateful that you have made us feel that our life is so worthwhile, is so wonderful, because we are able to bring, by Swami's love and grace, a smile or a tear of joy in your heart.
And coming to the wonderful stories which we have for this week, as Arvind said, Satyam Shivam Sundaram is what we're going to talk about. And we are in that, what was considered even then as a very important event in those early years. It was the 1950, and after tremendous effort and after a lot of inputs in the form of, you know, resources, in the form of the time of devotees and Swami's own time, the Prashanthi Nilayam Ashram was finally ready to be inaugurated.
And when you say ready, it is not as if, like, you know, a pristine building with fixed, with a demarcated bathroom, a living room, and it was not actually finished in that sense. The building was up, so much of plastering was yet to be done, and still, you know, it was possibly about 70% finished. And yet, the construction of the Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir has been considered as one of the epochal and landmark events in the physical sojourn of the Satya Sai avatar. In spite of, you know, in the later years, Swami has constructed the Satya Sai drinking water supply project, the two magnificent hospitals, and, you know, the housing project, so many huge projects. And yet, so much importance is given to this one mandir building because of, I feel, two reasons, you know. One reason is the spiritual reason, one reason is the worldly reason. The worldly reason is that Puttaparthi was such a primitive village. There was no roads, as we have discussed, there were no roads for these huge machinery and equipment to come here. There was no way to transport materials. Then what about, how do you get engineers and how do you get workers who actually do the work? And it was not being built even in Puttaparthi. At that time, Prashanthi Nilayam was at the foot of a hill in the outskirts of the village, because that land, we told about this in the previous satsang, how Sakama, yes. Right. Sakama had procured that land outside the village. And today when we see that what was the outskirts of the village has become the town, and what was the village then is being considered as the outskirts of the town today. That is what Swami's Prashanthi Nilayam has done, and Prashanthi Nilayam was at the center of it. If we look at the photos of Prashanthi Nilayam in those days, there's absolutely nothing around. Prashanthi Nilayam appears to be like an oasis in the desert, because that is the spiritual reason that I was talking about. It was indeed that. It was going to become an oasis in the desert for so many spiritual seekers.
You know, apart from the spiritual aspect of it, I mean, just think of it the economical way, in an economic way, or the resources which Swami had. Mm. This is 1950.
Mm.
I mean, 6 years back, the greatest wealth Swami had was a collar pin which was gifted by, you know, the commissioner. Right. Huh. I mean, that was the greatest position which he had, which means Swami described how he had two pairs of clothes, two knickers, two shirts. And just 10 years ago, he had to drink water from a buffalo trough. You know, that, from there. And now if you look at it, you know, you look at the pictures of how Swami came in a procession to the mandir, and the mandir, I'm sure the people who came then and saw the mandir, the local people, those who have seen Swami grow up, they would have been stunned by what Swami had achieved.
In a matter of 5-6 years.
Right. And it's just the same boy who was there in the backyard. You know, that boy has done this. And who is coming? The list of invitees for that, the inauguration of the mandir, it at least had 3 or 4 royalty in it, right?
Exactly. See, Prem, what we should not forget is that, like you said, if somebody had seen Swami in, say, 1943, 1944, what he had, his greatest possession, greatest in the sense, in the worldly terms,
the greatest possession,
was one gold collar pin. And in 6 years' time, you visit him after 6 years, you see that he is the king of an empire here, almost, you know, because an emperor, because there are kings bowing down at his feet. So while on one hand, a person who has come after 6 years is bound to get shocked and stupefied at how this happened, if we take a person who had lived along these 6 years, forget living along those 6 years, if we have any of our listeners who has lived along these 6 years that we have, you know, had a satsang on for the past, say, 6 or 7 satsangs, I'm sure we'll not be surprised. Because the way Swami manifested his divinity, it was but evident that, you know, this is something magnificently huge that is going to happen. So, that is a beautiful paradox, you know. A person who is coming after 1944, directly in 1950, is going to drop his jaw in awe. At the same time, a person who has stayed along from 1944 till 1950, say, Sakama, for example, she would not have got even the least shocked, saying, yeah, this is bound to happen. This is how it has been happening the last 6 years. So when you know the Lord, nothing is a surprise. And when you're not able to know the Lord, you're bound to get shocked and thrilled and call it a miracle. And I feel that is why Swami used to say, what is ascharyam for you, what is surprising, amazing and enthralling for you, is sahajam for me. It is natural and easy for me.
In fact, there is that conversation between Mother Ishwarama and Peddabottu. You know, one day when Mother Ishwarama comes and in whispers tells Peddabottu, Amma, do you know that Swami is God?
Hmm.
I mean, the same mother who has had the opportunity to give birth to the Lord and live with him all through his childhood. You know, even she had her moments of revelations when she looked at Swami and said, ah, I mean, my little boy has achieved this. You know, that was the beauty of Swami, because, you know, he never removed himself completely away from them. You know, it's not that Swami allowed that awe to surround him every time Swami was interacting with people. Swami let them forget that who he was so that he could enjoy what he was otherwise. But at the same time, you know, these things were happening by which they were reminded of who they were spending the time with.
You know, the former warden and translator for Bhagwan, Shri B. N. Narasimhamurthy, in one article in Sai Chandana, he writes about a certain Lakshmaya.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know his full name, that's not he written, but he records that Lakshmaya was close to Swami, and they often took walks together on these deserted hills. You know, because this was the spot where Prashant Nilayam was going to be built. At that time, you know, I'm sure Lakshmaya would not have imagined that such a building would be coming up in that wilderness. But Swami took him there, and pointing out to the spot where Prashant Nilayam Mandir is, what Swami said is, you know, stupendous. This is like those few moments when the clouds part, the veil of Maya parts and light comes through. Swami said that the Sai Pravesh, that is the advent of Sai, will transform this region into a Prashanti Pradesh. A Pradesh means a country. Prashanti is supreme peace, a country of highest peace. And here will rise a Bhavanamu. Bhavanamu means a magnificent mansion, where lakhs of people from all over India and the world too will come for Sai Darshan. And you know, when Swami suddenly said this, this was not Swami, this was Satya Sai, Bala Sai speaking this. That's what he was not yet known as. And not so, that time Lakshmaya was shocked. You know, he was surprised and he said, Swami, okay Baba, what is this you are saying? Then Swami told him that, you will believe it when you see it for yourself. And pointing out to a spot where Lakshmaya was standing, you know, it was just rock, sand, nothing, just, he said that at this very spot you will stand and you will be craning your neck to have a glimpse of me. You know, it was stunning for him because here was Swami, he could grab, he had the whole of Swami for himself and only for himself. They were the only two people in that vast land with nobody around. And yet he was saying that in a few years you will see for yourself, you will be standing exactly here and you will be craning your neck to have a darshan of me. And in fact, in that very spot, this magnificent edifice had come up, the Prashant Nilayam Mandir.
I mean, that's exactly what I was saying. You know, even those who were with Swami, even they were filled with awe. You know, and they said, yeah, you're God, but don't dream so big. It's almost like that. You know, there are, we mentioned this before, when Swami went to visit the Kuppam family, family in Machilipatnam, I think.
Mm-hmm.
There on the sand, Swami actually drew the entire plot of the Prashanti Nilayam Ashram and went on to say, this is
correct.
East Prashanti,
yes.
This is West Prashanti. I mean, from Swami's point of view, you know, the thing is already materialized. Swami knew exactly what is going to come. But then there were these innumerable number of bottlenecks which were coming, and you know, everybody who was involved in the whole project would have got so frustrated and would have got so disillusioned by the whole thing. You know, you're not able to get labor, you get the labor, you're not able to get the money, you get the money. You have other technical problems of getting these girders, you know, we've spoken about all of them. But all through, Swami knew that, you know, he would have had the image of the Kulwant Hall with the chandeliers already.
Exactly, and the gold plating over the devotees.
Thank goodness Swami did not tell
Mahasamadhi.
You know, describe the Kulwant Hall to somebody like Lakshmaya then.
Ah, okay. I was thinking about the Mahasamadhi area. Because, you know, Prem, one of my classmates who had the chance of being in the position of helping Swami, assisting him, he was recounting how during one Shirdi Baba drama that the schoolboys were putting up, you know, it came to that scene when Shirdi Baba leaves his body for 3 years. For 3 days and then re-enters the body after 3 days. So he was, this was a scene being depicted. And somehow, even as this scene began, Swami moved into the interview room. You know, this boy, he narrated this and he has shared this in a public gathering also. So he was saying that when they took Swami inside, Swami said, did you see what's going to happen? So, they did not know. Swami said, Shirdi Baba is leaving. He'll go and he'll come back after 3 days. So, this boy was taken aback because though they know the story, this had not yet been portrayed. And they did not know what the drama is going to happen. And it was only by listening to the music that was filtering through into the interview room that they found out that there was a scene happening outside. And then apparently Swami told him that, not apparently, Swami told him that when I leave like this, I will not come back. That's what he said. And then Swami, pointing out to the area in front of the then Ganesha idol, you know, in the Mandir portico, Swami told him that that will be the place where I will rest. And in fact, that is the reason why everything was shifted to Kulwanthal, because that area had to be surcharged with his presence to make it ready to receive his mortal remains. And if you see, Prem, after 2008 onwards, every program was held there, because Swami would always sit exactly in the place where currently the Mahasamadhi has been built. Even the convocation drama, which used to be an exception and used to be held in the Purnachandra auditorium, that also got shifted over to the Kulwanthal. And everything from convocation to programs to dramas, everything was held in Kulwanthal. You know, as you said, even before the physical advent, the Lord has a master plan clear. It almost reminds one of what Krishna had told Arjuna. Arjuna, the Kauravas have already been annihilated. Dharma has been re-established. It is just that you have to come in now and play your part. So don't get into this illusion that you are doing the killing and it'll means, you know, you are guilty of the sin. So the master plan is perfectly in shape, perfectly in place, and that is why though we go through tension, stress and worries and thinking what will happen, the Lord is never. Swami is always calm. And you know, Prashantilya Mandir was a project that took maximum time. You know, the indoor stadium was built in 120 days. But Prashantilya Mandir had taken 2.5 years. And yet, Swami was calm. Even on the day of inauguration, as we said, you know, it was only 70% complete. Yet Swami was calm because the master plan is there. And when the master plan is there, what is there to worry?
You know, even when you were saying about Swami spending so much time outside there and Swami giving so much importance to the building as such. One thing which I recollect is one of my teachers was once explaining what we popularly call being in form. You know, when we are students, when you get that attention from Swami, there's a period of time when Swami speaks to you, when Swami is inquiring about your family. In our hostel parlance, we say that you're in form. You know, in reference to in cricket, when you say when you're in the best patch of your career, you say he's in form. You know, a very beautiful and interesting explanation one of the teachers gave for that period is, you know, he said, see, Swami is purity. Swami is pure consciousness. And that time is the time when this pure consciousness is focusing on you. There are thousands over there, but he's focusing all his, you know, energy and purity on you. So if you choose to transform yourself, that is the best period for you. Because you're kind of poured with a bountiful of spiritual energy. You know, taking the same thing to the Mandir. We say, as you said, it was one of the projects which maybe took Swami the longest. And that was a project which actually remained, I mean, when I joined in 99-2000, work was going on in the Kulwanthal. You know, till 2001-2002. So what started in 1950, there was work going on in this area which we call Prashantinilayam, the Kulwanthal, the Mandir, for the entire period of the Avatar's sojourn on Earth. So that much of Swami's energy is actually focused in this Mandir, in this building which we call. You know, when
the
people,
Mandir was a form boy.
Really, yes. You know, that much of Swami's energy and focus and consciousness and purity has been poured into this Mandir. You know, we ask ourselves, why do we have to come to Prashantinilayam? Why do we have to come to Puttaparthi when Swami is with us? I think this is the answer, because here is a small region, you know, in the entire earth, it could be anywhere. But in this country, in this town, in this small village, in this small area which we call Kulwanthal, Prashantinilayam, Swami spent so much of his time, so much of his energy looking into each aspect of the construction. You know, be it the roof, be it the chandeliers, be it the flooring, be it the every decoration which has come onto the building later. So much of Swami's energy has gone into it, and the way the Mandir, the main structure itself was built, it was completely built by devotees. You know, there's a description
chanting
where
Swami's name,
and the Professor Kasturi gives a description how Swami would give daily wages to the devotees who worked there. And I mean, this is a building which is built through Swami's love and by people who had love for Swami. Is there a better place where you can sit and actually focus your mind on Swami and get it happen, I mean, make it happen easily? I think it just cannot be.
You know, adding to what you were saying, we can just take an excerpt. It's not there as an audio, but this has been recorded by devotees of what Swami spoke when the Prashantinilaya Mandir was inaugurated. He said, "I am naming the newly constructed mandir as Prashanti Nilayam. Prashanti means supreme peace and Nilayam means the abode. Without any bad thoughts, this place will give you the mind of a newborn child." And then Swami said, "The human birth is acquired after numerous births as other species. Thoughts will cause and shape the next birth." Now imagine in that context, your thoughts when it's shaping your next birth, Swami says, when you come to Prashanti Nilayam, your mind becomes that of a newborn child, which means it's equivalent to wiping out all your past karmas, your past tendencies, and it's a fresh life that begins. It's a new life. In fact, in Prashanti Nilayam, just 2 days back, I was playing shuttle badminton in the Indoor Stadium. There's an Uday Kiran sir who teaches in the Department of Mathematics.
Okay.
In the Department of Mathematics in the Institute. And I just asked him, you know, why did you, how did you happen to come to Puttaparthi? He says, you know, I came to Puttaparthi on March 3rd, I forget the year. He said, okay. I said, okay. He said, I came here and I don't know, I realized that God is here, nothing can be greater than this, and I decided to stay here. And you know, he said, I celebrate my birthday every year on March 3rd, because that is the day I got birth. And friends, this is not the first person. I've met many people who celebrate as their birthdays the day they came face to face with the Master. This includes even B.N. Narasimurthy sir and several others who celebrate the day when they came face to face with their Master as their birthday. And you know, here is Swami in the discourse validating that truth, validating that faith, that conviction. He's saying that when you come here, you get the mind of a newborn child. It's like a new birth. You know, he goes on to play with the name Puttaparthi. He says in Telugu, the word putta means birth. And parthi means a negative or a change. So Swami says, anybody who stays in Prashanti Nilayam and practices meditation, bhajan or any other spiritual practice will not have rebirth. That is why the place is called Puttaparthi. You know? And this is not what somebody has said or somebody has experienced. This is what is the avatar Vani. And this was declared way back in 1950. I don't think there should be any more doubts as to why we should come to Puttaparthi. I mean, it's so obvious. Why do you go? I mean, this analogy makes everything very clear. Why do you go to a spring to drink water? Because anywhere you dig deep, water is available. Of course, but there is a thrill of getting that freshness, purest form of water from the spring. That spring water which is unpolluted. You know, once it starts flowing, it starts gathering all the vasanas, traits, tendencies of everything that is on the thing, on the surface. So, directly you get it from the spring. Prashanti Nilayam is that spring. Puttaparthi is that spring. And that was what Swami declared immediately after the inauguration of the Mandir in 1950.
I mean, just imagine if suppose we were fortunate enough to have a letter written to us by Swami. You know, let's say Swami sat down and wrote a letter to us.
Mm.
How much we would treasure that? Because that much Swami's effort has gone into that, and especially for you. And I think this Prashanti Nilayam is something which Swami has given to all of us like that. You know, Swami, we have to remind ourselves that Swami has put in so much of his time into it, so much of his efforts into it in the worldly sense, and so much of the efforts of people who love him. You know, Swami has given this as a means of sadhana for so many people. Mm. Swami has made them build this place as their sadhana. And they've all contributed. You know, we've spoken about the different people who contributed to the mandir and the later years, the many people who came, Kutumb Rao and Chiranjeev Rao, who's still here. All these people, you know, this place has been built on the sadhana which people have performed in a desire to please Swami. And could there be a more, you know, sacred kshetra than this? Because this is completely built on Swami's love and love people had for Swami.
That's how kshetras come up. That's how Jerusalem has come. That's how Bodh Gaya is there. That's how the Kaaba, the Hajj pilgrimage. All these have come in that manner because, you know, those vibrations exist. I'm reminded of what one brother who had the chance of staying with Swami, he was narrating, you know, when he got this chance to stay with Swami, he said that Swami would not ask for anything, nor will he give any instruction. You know, Swami will go about his day in the residence. You are supposed to observe Swami, learn, and, you know, realize that this is what has to be done, this is what is not supposed to be done. For example, he was narrating that, you know, in 1999, Swami did the Lingodbhavam, you know, publicly. Right. He restarted that. So this brother said that many years before that also, he used to notice that, you know, Swami had one 5-liter can, which would be filled with water. He would notice that every time as Shivratri comes, within 3-4 hours, the 5-liter can is empty. And he would fill it. And he observed one Shivratri that almost in a single day, 3 times Swami has emptied it, which means 15 liters. And he has said that on one such Shivratri occasion, when he is tidying up Swami's bathroom, he finds one lingam in the... So he gently lifts it, cleans and leaves it back in the same place, and he informed Swami. He said, Swami, there was the lingam. I cleaned everything and a lingam is there only. Swami says, yes, leave it. So, you know, what is ascharyam for us is sahajam for Swami. We think that, you know, it's a spectacle. But Swami had been doing Lingodbhavam. It is just that out of his love for us, from 1999 onwards, he restarted it and started doing it in public again. But that used to happen every time. So he said that he has learnt everything like this, observing. So after that, the minute Shivratri comes, he used to replace the 5-liter container with a 20-liter container of water. Because for the next 1 week, Swami needs water. Swami never told him, get me more water. Swami would not even ask if the water is emptied. Swami would just, you know, live like that. So if you happen not to notice, Swami will not drink water. And don't know what will happen. But that is the level of, you know, oneness and commitment and in tune you have to be with. So he said that he observed, you know, that Swami used to write. Swami used to write on pieces of paper. So much. So he just felt, and Swami would not even waste 1 centimeter. So many things he would write. So generally wherever Swami is going to sit, dining table, near Swami's bedroom, he started keeping notebooks. And Swami was happy with it. Though he never physically said that, Swami began to write in these notebooks. So in one of the notebooks, he said that once when Swami shared it, he saw what Swami had written. You know, beautiful thoughts. Swami had written that every avatar that has come on earth leaves behind its vibrational image. And that's what remains forever in time. It can never get demolished. You may say that, you know, the Lord has no form. You know, for example, this bottle of water in front of me is also Lord. Right. Theoretically, you are right. But Swami had written that when that Supreme Lord decides to take a form as Rama, as the Ajanubahu, with a light blue complexion, with a bow and with the arrows, with his matted hair, and now, because the Lord chose that form to come in that vibratory form, Rama will stay forever. Anything that is, and that is how Rama, Ayodhya become holy, they become Kshetras. The same thing for Krishna too. That is how Mathura, Dwarka, they become Kshetras. And Swami had written the same too will be of Satya Sai. One Satya Sai is there, that's it. Forever and ever Satya Sai is. It is not like our physical bodies, because that is the avatar's body. So those vibrations as Satya Sai, it is like, you know, before Satya Sai advent, yes, God was everywhere. God is omnipresent. After the physical sojourn of Satya Sai on earth, there is the omnipresent Lord. But it is not in that sense. It is in the sense of Satya Sai as such, that form, that name, that glory, things associated with it. Those will be special. So, you know, these are direct validations, and it's our good fortune that people around the world are now slowly sharing the different treasures and secrets that Swami had shared with all of them. So it is so beautiful, and once you hear all this, see Swami, what he declared on his 50th birthday, it becomes so aptly clear as to how one visit to Puttaparthi surcharges your and recharges your spiritual batteries.
It's very interesting, and I think it's quite providential. We started off by saying that how Radio Sai is connecting people to Prashanti Nilayam, But we are going into a discussion by saying that forget connecting Prashanthi Nilayam. Nothing can actually bring the greatness and the beauty of Prashanthi Nilayam to your house. If you really want to live it, you have to come here and experience it and carry the vibration back with you. And I think that's the truth. I think we were overstepping our brief by saying that we are taking Prashanthi Nilayam to the world. Dear listeners, that's absolutely not true, because it's absolutely a different and divine feeling to be here.
You know, I think we are like those flyers and magazine ads that go around, you know. They can just invite you and build in you an urge. I can never see a flyer about the Taj Mahal and say that I have experienced and seen Taj Mahal. I have to travel to Agra and see the Taj Mahal for myself, because this is what one of my friends told me, you know. He said, Arvind, I know you have seen, you know, if you just go and Google Taj Mahal, you will get at least 1 million photographs. It might be one of the most photographed monuments in the world today. He said, you see all the photographs from all angles during all seasons with all lightings, everything. And yet, he said, Arvind, and yet, when you first time stand in front of the Taj, even the hardest, practical, non-romantic person will find his heart moistening and his eyes moistening and his heart warming, because the sight of the Taj is like that. I feel that's the same thing here. How much ever we may describe and dry our tongues in talking about Swami's glory, what you experience and feel when you come to Swami's Kshetra is something that you can only experience. And then you can also go about and speak of 1 million words about it. But that is what it will only be, a flyer or an ad. Yes.
You know, that's really, the Taj Mahal was quite an interesting analogy, because I had a cousin who came back after visiting the Taj, and pretty much the same thing. He said, it's a feeling to be there. You know, you stand in front of it, you feel. And I think that's exactly what happened with Swami also. Because later years, many of the devotees whom we interview now, they are coming from, countries from around the world, from Europe, who've been brought up in families which were devoted to Swami. They've always read about Swami, seen pictures and images of Swami. But still, when they come in front of Swami, it's completely a different feeling. It's completely something which cannot be explained, and I think it has to be like that. You know, there's no surprise.
How many have come with ideas thinking that when I first meet Swami, this is what I'll ask, this is what I will seek, this is what it is. But all of them, you know, have just become dumbfounded, because when they see Swami, it is so different from what they had imagined it would be when they meet Swami. It is so marvelous, and it is indeed an experience.
And that's the same with Prashanthi Nilayam also, dear listeners. And that particular words of Swami where he said that if you have no bad thoughts, you can be in the state of a newborn child. That's a very, very subtle feeling. It's not like when you come in to the Prashanthi Nilayam, you will find crackers going and, you know, some kind of a spiritual extravaganza which will happen to you. But it's a very, very subtle feeling, because, you know, a lot of people say this. There is a very nice vibration in this temple, and there's a very nice vibration in this house. I found it very difficult to actually sense any vibration like that. I've never felt it like that. But one thing which I have seen is there is an immediate calming of your mind. You know, there is an ease with which you can actually think of Swami or think of your favorite deity. And that is a very straightforward sign of that place being filled with good vibrations. And I think that's a very subtle feeling, and that everybody who comes to Prashanthi Nilayam will be able to find. To start with, you'll find the purest form of yourself, you know, when you come. Because all of us have the good self and the bad self.
Exactly.
You find it very easy to be in the good self when you come to, you know, the Swami's presence. So I think, Arvind, we'll take a short break here. Prashanthi Nilayam is about to be inaugurated. There's a 10-day festivity which is being planned to inaugurate this beautiful mandir.
To mark the inauguration, yes.
Right. And because it also happens to be Swami's 25th birthday. So that's
one of the
first landmark birthdays of Swami, and it's a landmark indeed. But before we go to that, let us listen to this beautiful song. When we come back, we'll talk about the inauguration of Prashanthi Nilayam.
Shanti Nilayam, Siva Shakti Swara Alayam, Dharma Nirat ఆరతితో శ్రీ ఆరతితో వెలిగే కలియుగ కైలాసము నారాయణుడే నరుడై వెలసి నడయాడే నా వైకుంఠము ఇదిగో 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 భరతదేశ ఔన్నత్య దీపిక వేద శాస్త్ర విజ్ఞాన వీచిక భరతదేశ ఔన్నత్య దీపిక దివ్య ప్రేమ చైతన్య వాటిక దివ్య ప్రేమ చైతన్య వాటిక విశ్వనభస్సున కీర్తి తారక విశ్వనభస్సున కీర్తి తారక సర్వమతముల స్నేహ భారతి వీటి విద్యలకు వాణి సన్నిధి ప్రశాంతి నిలయం శివ శక్తీశ్వర ఆలయము ధర్మ నిరతితో సేవారతితో వెలిగే కలియుగ కైలాసము నారాయణుడే నరుడై వెలసి నడయాడే నా వైకుంఠము ఇదిగో ఇదిగో
hearing this song that was going on, it again took back to what we read about this beautiful 25th birthday, that is the Silver Jubilee birthday of Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba and the inauguration of the Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir. Because on that day too, there were so many concerts, so many musical programs, and you know, the guest list was so impressive that anybody who would have seen the guest list would have simply been shocked that some villager, in that too not one of the prominent villages, has constructed a mandir and he is able to draw such people, you know. For example, in this magnificent book called Love Is My Form, which chronicles 25 years, the first 25 years of Swami's physical sojourn, in this book there is a copy. I don't know how the person who has compiled this managed to lay his hands on, but it's such a beautiful thing. Here is a copy of the invitation to the Prashanthi Nilayam inauguration. It's completely in Telugu and it's a two-faced invitation. On one side of the invitation is a small photograph of the Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir.
Okay.
On the other side
is half-constructed.
Yeah, the half-constructed one. And on the other side is Swami's picture. Under the photograph of the Prashanthi Nilayam building is the following text. It says, Shri Bhagwan Sathya Sai Prashanthi Nilayam. That was a board also that was placed there. The festivities of the birthday celebrations of Bhagwan Shri Sathya Sai and the inauguration of the Shri Bhagwan Sathya Sai Prashanthi Nilayam will be conducted on Thursday, the 23rd of November 1950. It happened to be a Thursday, just like today is. Kartika Shuddha Chaturdasi day of the year. Vikruti year. The year was Vikruti.
Right. Vikruti according to the samvatsaram.
Right. According to the 60-year cycle that the Indian calendar follows. On the full moon day, 24-11-1950, there will be an Akhanda Bhajan from 7 a.m. So it was morning to morning by devotees from Bangalore. From Krishna Paddami on 25-11-1950, the Navaratri festival will be conducted in a grand manner. And on Tuesday, the 28th November, there will be clothes distribution to the needy and the handicapped people.
Mm-hmm.
All devotees may participate in these festivities and obtain the grace of Bhagwan. Yours, Shri Bhagwan Satisai devotees. This was the invitation. And on the other side, under Swami's name, was the guest list. This is so impressive. Among the gents, you know, I'm not going to name everybody. There are 16 names in the gents and 14 in the ladies. So 30 people. And among them figure the Inspector General of Police, Ranjot Singh from Bangalore. Then there's a Venkatagiri Maharaja, the King of Venkatagiri. The Baroda Maharaja. Then there is the Venkatagiri Prince.
Prince, okay.
Then, you know, there are 2-3 big industrialists of that time. Then the Aras family, Arasu family from Mysore. That's another royal family. So these are among the men. Among the women, there is Sakamma, the Rani of Chincholi. There is Subbamma, there is Namagiri Amma, there is Saraswatamma. Then, you know, all Sandur Rani, the Queen of Sandur. So we are having royalty from at least 5-6 kingdoms coming for the inauguration. Apart from that, we are having 3-4 industrialists. We are having 3-4 big time philanthropists. All of them attending. And I felt it is such a beautiful gesture of humility by the Lord of the universe to put the names of these people. It was as if, like Swami says, right, that my hand has never stretched out to take. It's only give and give. And, you know, over the last few satsangs, we have discussed how it was Swami who was the leader, who was encouraging, who was the technical head, who was also helping to procure materials. He was, we can say, the one man, not one man, one God army who built the Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir. Everyone knows it, that Prashanthi Nilayam would never have been possible if not for the direct presence of Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. And yet, when it was constructed, Swami gave the credit entirely to others, claiming no credit for himself whatsoever. I really felt this was such a beautiful instance of divine humility.
I mean, absolutely. And you know, that's exactly what Swami does all the time, I think, you know, where he's the one, just take the Prashanthi Nilayam, the amount of effort which went into it and the amount of roadblocks which the project itself saw.
Mm.
More than anything else, the divinity apart, you needed somebody who could inspire you so much.
Mm.
And you know, that's exactly what Swami did. And as you said, it was so beautiful of Swami to put all these people's names in that. And what was also beautiful was, you know, the predicament the parents of Swami were put in.
Mm.
Because here is Swami and, you know, you have the royalty coming to attend his birthday party. And you know, that morning, it all started at 6 o'clock in the morning when the procession was supposed to start at 6 in the morning. So early in the morning, a group of devotees go to the house of Madhe Ishwaramma and Peda Venkama Raju and they invite them to come and do the anointment ceremony of Swami. You know, when you do that on the birthday. And understandably, they were so embarrassed because they were not used to this kind of being in the spotlight and getting this much attention from such a elite crowd. It's not just elite, of course. There were very, very number of people there from the local people. The local people were in huge numbers because they have never seen a gathering such as this, a celebration such as this.
There are kings, musicians, businessmen. Oh, right. Who's who of South India?
Right. And the two brothers,
Raman and Lakshman,
and they were there, and there were 3 or 4 other, and there were some Nadaswaram parties which were supposed to be very, very famous in the whole of Andhra. You know, they were there, they were playing for hours together, sitting in one place. You know, all these kind of things, the festivity, the mood, can, you know, you can understand what it would have been like. And this was the scenario in which the parents were invited to do the anointment ceremony. They were so embarrassed, they were so pleased that, you know, Swami had achieved this. But at the same time, the
it was like a sudden gear shift. Because till the previous year, you know, Swami would come home and it would be a very private affair where the mother and father, they anoint the son, they anoint their son, that is Swami. And suddenly this year, they are shocked that there's a procession, and the procession is not a normal procession. It's fully, you know, decorated. It's a happy procession. There's some dancing. There's some dancing going on. A path has been created because, you know, this was in the outskirts of the village. A path had been created. The thorns had been cleared and a neat path had been made on which the parents would actually go to their son to anoint them, and they were really overwhelmed. And, you know, I feel this also, you know, Swami, for example, At that point in time itself, had achieved the status where his own Gramammai and Gramabbai, as he would call them, the girl of the house and the boy of the house. You know, by the time Kasturi's daughter's marriage itself,
right.
Swami was referring to them like that. They would be actually prostrating. They had recognized the divinity of their son and they were falling at his feet. And here was Swami in his humility, taking his parents who were falling at his feet and raising them to the level of his head, because they would anoint him and he would bow down his head and, you know, receive the anointment. And I feel this is so poignant, because when later years in the discourse Swami says Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava, it makes so much meaning, because though he was God, he is God and he is the supreme, even he bowed down to receive these blessings from his physical parents on the day of his birthday. Such a beautiful moment.
Coming back to the ceremony, I think the only saving grace for the parents who were feeling so shy and so out of place in the ceremony was there were at least 8 other couples who were doing the same puja for Swami.
As anointment,
I think, it was a tradition which stayed on for quite a few years. And I think the last one was done quite recently.
I think in 2010.
In 2009. When Swami permitted 9 couples to do that. I think that was the same ceremony there which was done. And as you said, I think a new path was laid. And I'm sure the parents also would have felt that Swami is moving so far away now. Because that was outside the town. And I think even Ishwarama might have wondered, is Swami keeping up his word of saying that I will not leave Puttaparthi?
Because he had actually left Puttaparthi.
Right, he's in the outskirts. But she didn't realize that Swami was creating a new center for Puttaparthi. Because now we say, what is actually Puttaparthi? As the outskirts of Puttaparthi. But, you know, the town which is around the Shivalayam, which happens to be Swami's birthplace. But now for us, Puttaparthi, Prashanthi Nilayam is the center of Puttaparthi. Right.
In fact, Prashanthi Nilayam today is almost like the center of the world for us, because Swami is the center of the heart. In the procession that started that day, you know, Swami was taken in a bedecked chariot, and there were important and major florists from Bangalore and Madras who had traveled all the way to Puttaparthi with their huge load of flowers. You know, and Puttaparthi in the past 5 decades had not seen those many flowers as it saw on the 23rd of November 1950.
Right. In fact, it happens to be the largest expense of the whole celebration.
Flowers.
The floral decoration. I mean, and can you imagine the amount of money? It was 2,300 rupees.
Oh, okay.
And the budget, which was, not budget, the expenses list, which was accessed much later, in that it was written, and this was the biggest expense in that whole list. And
which the devotees brought out of their love for Swami.
Right.
And Prem, you know, maybe we should give some perspective, because 2,300 rupees in 1950,
exactly.
When I think of my father in 1980s,
okay.
1980s or 1970s, my father said that he was earning something like 110 to 120 rupees.
Okay.
So 120 rupees in the 1970s. Now imagine in the 1950s, 2,300 rupees.
It's exactly. Because, you know, apart from these things of the floral decoration and all that, Swami gave away so many things to those people who were involved in the construction. I think there is a account of one of them, the chief, the chief engineer,
Munusappa.
Swami gives him with a motorcycle.
Munsami.
Right, Munusappa, I think.
Okay.
Swami gives him with a motorcycle.
Gives him a motorcycle.
Right.
And he gifts all the other workers with cycles.
Cycles. Close to 20 cycles were distributed.
See, that is so beautiful, you know. He had no contract to give them, because they have been paid their wages and their daily wages and whatever. It has been paid. But if you see that, even when the indoor, you know, that is something that was always with Swami. Even when the indoor stadium was being constructed, Swami would often visit. It was under construction only for 120 days. And yet I remember on two occasions, Swami visited the indoor stadium and he himself personally supervised gifts given to all the workmen. All the workmen without exception. This is something that we don't see, you know, in day-to-day life. And this, I feel, is such a beautiful aspect, the way Swami expresses his gratitude. All the people who worked in building the mandir got cycles, and the chief engineer, as you said, got a motorcycle.
And that's the beauty, you know. We've spoken to Mr. Ramakrishna, the head of the L&T.
Larsen & Toubro
in India. Larsen & Toubro, who did most of the construction in the later years, be it the water project or the hospitals or the indoor stadium. I mean, it's a documented fact that the work, when taken up for Swami, happens in a very, very cohesive manner, and the efficiency of the workers in the lowest rung seems to be much, much more than any other site anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And this he said as in the capacity of the head of the construction group there. You know, this was also because of what you said. Swami would often visit that, you know, the construction site, and Swami would not contain himself to speaking only to the heads of the engineering or the heads of the architectural group. So many times Swami would go and pick up some child from the workers group. Swami would speak to some of the women.
Exactly. Imagine that impact, Prem. If Swami is walking and you see Swami is speaking to, you know, for every worker, they have their supervisor and they have their foreman who is the head.
Right.
Now, all those supervisors to whom they bow down to, these supervisors bow down to their managers. And those managers bow down to these executives and CEOs who are walking there. So CEO is like some Brahma or Vishnu for them. And here is Swami to whom those CEOs bow down to. And that Swami who puts his hand on the shoulder of the CEO and tells, as the CEO is folding his hands, immediately also walks to this worker, puts his hand on his shoulder and asks him what he had for lunch. Did he have lunch? Is he being fed well? What a moment it would have been, because at that time, both the worker and the CEO are standing beside each other, both with a smile on their face and their hands folded. That is the kind of leveling that the divine brings about. And that is why from the bottom rung, as you said, till the top rung, everybody gets enthusiastic to work for Swami.
You know, it just reminds me of what one of the trainers who came during the sports meet was telling us. You know, There was this person, they have these army vacations and they have a few days they can spare. And many of them used to come and teach us marching during our sports meet session. So there was this one person who had come, and I think it was the first time he was coming to Swami. So a friend had got him, and so he was teaching us how to march. And it was one of those days when General Mehta had visited us. You know, he was at, I think that time, in charge of the Northern Command or something.
General is a third highest post in the army.
I think there are four generals in the army.
Correct.
So he was one of them.
Hmm.
And the Northern Command was one of the most important ones, understandably. So he had come to see us marching. You know, for us, he was a devotee of Swami. We've seen him so many times, and he comes for thrice sessions with us. We have sat next to him in the portico. So he had come to see us, and we were marching in front of him. And after that, he went up to this trainer and kind of shook hands with him and went. You know, after that, this man was in awe, this trainer who had come.
Mm.
He said, "I don't know about Sai Baba, but when I go back to my, you know, contingent, and I tell them I shook hands with the general, I'm going to be very, very special." And, you know, I'm sure he would have, after that, seen General Mehta bowing down in front of Swami. And I'm sure Swami would have spoken to the trainers, as he always does during the sports meet. He speaks to everybody who has contributed in that event. It's the same feeling. You know, the one whom you look up to, he looks up to somebody, and that person cares for you. That
as
person,
much as he cares for.
Exactly. And, you know, that is, it's a very practical management tip which Swami left with all of us. That when you are able to penetrate your energy to the last person working in that whole chain, that's the best way to get your work.
You know, Prem, you're talking
in the right way.
You're talking about generals and soldiers and human beings. There's this famous documented incident when Swami had visited the Horsley Hills. Horsley Hills, I got the chance to visit it very recently. It's a beautiful hill station, just about 120 kilometers away from Puttaparthi. It's 3,000 feet above sea level. Beautiful, cool, serene, peaceful. Nobody ever visits there. And nobody ever visits there means it's not crowded. It's very beautiful. And Swami had been there, and the governor's bungalow in which Swami had stayed still exists even to this day. So when Swami had visited Horsley Hills, even to this day, if you see Horsley Hills, it's not quite developed. it's quite costly to buy things there because all the things have to be transported almost 12 kilometers up the hill from the foothills. Now a road has come into existence. During those days there was no road. And so every day, you know, to get water, fetch water, there was one buffalo that was put into service and it would carry the water from the bottom of the hill to the top of the hill every day. And the recorded story shows that when Swami had to leave from Horsley Hills to return back, he made it a point to go to the buffalo, pat, call the buffalo as his bangaru and express his gratitude for the service done.
In fact, you know, the talk of Kasturi, Professor Kasturi, which we played last week, I think in the last Satyam Shatsandra, later in the same talk he says, he was there, you know, he sneaked behind Swami and he wanted to see where Swami is going behind the bungalow when everybody is ready to leave. And he says, so beautifully, Swami just went up to that buffalo, patted it and he said, Velastanaya Dunapota. You know, Swami said, Velastanaya Dunapota and patted it. As you would, you know, tell your friend, suppose you're leaving home, you've been stayed with your friend and you're leaving, you just tell him, no, okay, I'll come back, no, see you later. You know, like that, you know, so beautiful.
You just now were saying that, you know, the way Swami treats General Mehta, as you said, and this other soldier from the army who had come to train, he treats both of them same and they feel so special. I was just thinking, you know, when Swami would leave Parthi to Vrindavan or Vrindavan to Parthi, one or two occasions I remember he would wave his hand and tell goodbye. And possibly to a form boy, you know, we have spoken about form boys, a form boy who is there, he would have probably said, Veli Vastan Ra Dunapota. Because Swami's Dunapota was a word of endearment. He would say, hey, you buffalo, I'm going and coming, you know. So you see, there also Swami is a great leveler. The way he talks to his student and the way he talks to the buffalo is the same. It's equal, and I'm sure the buffalo would have felt very special. Whatever the buffalo might have felt as we read that story today, our heart really, you know, feels so overwhelmed at the humility and gratitude the one who is in control of the universe showed. How much more grateful and humble should we be?
You know, even before we move out of the buffalo story, I'm just reminded of a story which someone told me quite some time back. You know, in Vrindavan, Swami had that wonderful garden, garden where he had deers and I think he had a few rabbits just opposite the bungalow.
In Bangalore?
Right, in Bangalore.
Okay.
I think it was there for quite some time till it they were all moved.
Yeah, now these deer have been shifted to Prashantiniyam. Yeah, Puttaparthi.
So it seems there was one of these deers which happened to be the first deer to come to Swami.
Okay.
And you can understand that it was quite old after a few years. So one day when Swami was in the bungalow, I think he was in the first floor, when suddenly this deer started shouting. You know, it started calling out. Not shouting, it just started calling out. And immediately Swami opened his door and started coming down. Okay, and Swami, even as he was coming down, Swami started ordering the boys around. Swami said, get a plate, get some apples, cut some apples and get. And Swami was telling how to cut it. Cut it into these many pieces, you know, four pieces or three pieces, whatever was the thing. And Swami was like in a hurry. Swami was rushing towards this cage where this deer was. And Swami came rushing to it. By then the apples were ready. They came to Swami. Swami just picked up a few, gave it to this deer and patted it and said, yeah, you can go. And that was the last moment of the deer. And I mean, if you just think of it, and be it a buffalo, be it a deer, be it, you know, the general in the army, be it the sipahi in the army, or be it any of us who actually don't matter anything. You know, we're talking about four or five royalty coming and visiting Prashantiniliam for Swami's 25th birthday. You know, what were we in that, in comparison to that? But we've all received that much from Swami, and that is the beauty of Swami, and, you know, that is what makes us warm to His love. You know, that is what, even today, if we can think of Swami and feel that Swami came for me, this is my Swami, and this is the Swami I am ready to live for. I think this is what Swami has done for each one of us, and to innumerable people whom we have not come to know of.
Exactly. I want to continue on your line of thought, but before that, when you were speaking of the deer, I remember on one occasion, this was narrated that Swami came and to his left were these cages with all the deer, and on the right the students. So Swami said, these are the human deer, this is the animal deer.
Yeah, exactly. Swami actually said, those are the four-legged deers, these are the two-legged deers.
So sweet. you know, you were saying about how Swami has done this to each one of us. And from 1950 itself, ever since Prashanta Nilayam came, all kinds of people, you know, have kept coming to Swami, kept coming to Swami. And there is, you know, no difference from the prince to the pauper, from powerful people to the apparently powerless people, from the humblest of the humble to the, you know, grandest of the grand. Everybody, all kinds of people have found their fulfillment in Prashanta Nilayam. You know, this reminds me of one incident that happened, you know, when I was traveling by flight to one place.
Okay.
At that time, there was this lady who was sitting in the next seat. She had her two children who were bothering her a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I saw that she was in some kind of a plight because she had been shifted twice. You know, the other passengers had complained to the air hostess, asked whether they can be shifted because her two children were really naughty. And I thought of helping her out by playing and engaging her two children. And she happened to speak, and she was talking about her guru, some guru in North India, and she was saying about how she's focused about her life and spirituality is everything in her life and all that she was saying. And she asked me whether, I asked her what is her greatest aspiration from her guru. She said, no, you will not understand it. I said, no, tell me, at least try. So she said, you know, I am searching for moksha. I said, oh yes, liberation, that's the ultimate. Oh, she said, so you know liberation. I said, have you heard of, by chance have you heard of Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba? The minute I told that to her, you know, she went off into a negative. She said, yes, Swami is this, Swami is that, I mean not Swami, Sai Baba is this, Sai Baba is that, Sai Baba. Things that will pain our heart.
Mm-hmm.
I just was hearing. I did not say anything. But, you know, I just felt that at that moment Swami did not want me to stand and defend him as such in words. But I thought I'll defend him in action. And so therefore, you know, I took such good care of her children in the flight. When the last 5 minutes of the flight, when we were about to land in Bombay, she said, you're such an amazing person, you know, what is this? I said, no, I am doing this because I too have a guru. And my guru has taught me that he is present in everyone. And therefore, I see my guru in you, I see my guru in your kids, and therefore I am able to treat it like this. And then I told, my guru has said that whenever I do this, he will reward me. So you don't think that I have done a great service. I am doing this because I know my guru will know, he will be happy with me and he will reward me. She said, oh wow. So you too believe only in your guru. I said, no, I believe in everybody. I believe in Jesus, I believe in this. And in fact, you know, I sang out 2-3 bhajans to her and I said, you name the deity, I can sing a bhajan. Because that is what Swami does. She said, oh wow. I said, who is this guru? Then I said, Bhagwan Sri Sai Baba. She was, oh my God, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. You know, she was so profusely apologetic. I said, it's alright. And she seemed bowled over by this, you know, apparent calm. She didn't know that I was undergoing a storm inside and it was a great restraint that I had appeared calm and peaceful. And then she asked, if Sathya Sai Baba is so magnificent, why is it that we hear so much wrong and negative about him? Now, what was I to answer? This is where, you know, Swami, I feel, kicks in from within. Without blinking my eyelids, I just said, why do you go to your guru? And she said, I go to my guru for moksha. Said, how many people come to your guru? She said, about 100 people. Why do they come to your guru? All of us are there for moksha. I said, you know what? You have got 100 people coming to your guru for moksha. In Prashanta Nilayam, which is my guru's ashram, on an average, every day there are 5,000 people. Every day, minimum is 5,000. On some days it goes to lakh. And why do these people come to Swami? Not all of them come for moksha. Some come for moksha. Some come for health problems being solved. Some come for wealth. Some come for succor. Some come for peace. Some come for education. Some come for treatment. I said, all kinds of stories are spoken about Swami because all kinds of people come to Swami. You know, that was not my sentence. Definitely not what I had thought of. It just came out like that. And she said, yes, makes sense. And that is when I realized that the Supreme Lord, when he takes avatar, he doesn't put a block. All kinds of people come to him. Everybody. From the most positive to the most negative. And when we have come, so it is not up to us to judge people who are who. I feel when we have come to Swami, it is up to us to ensure that we make the best possible use of Swami that we have obtained and liberate ourselves.
And you know, that is, that's in a sense a filter which Swami puts, as you said. And going back to that procession where Swami was, being taken to the inauguration of the mandir there, this was even described by Kasturi, Professor Kasturi in Loving God, where he says about the Dashara procession where Swami plucks the flowers and throws and it becomes different trinkets for people who,
yes,
some
flower.
Get dollars and all that. And that was a scene which repeated again during this procession. You know, we spoke of flowers which were, you know, so much which was spent on flowers. But then Swami was not letting the flowers just fade away and go waste, because he was converting them into something which was so memorable and something which I don't know how many generations would have cherished what Swami gave that day. Because Swami was randomly plucking these flowers which were on the palanquin and throwing it around, and people were finding for themselves, you know, either a silver dollar with Swami's name or different things. And you know, an interesting thing which is noted
by Professor
Kasturi and Satyam Shyam Sundaram is, you know, he goes to the construction site of the Prashanthalayam Ashram, where he finds there is this chief engineer, I've just forgotten his name. He's one of the people over there, and he says, he's describing about the times when Swami would come and visit them when the construction is going on. And he says, you know, it used to be so special, because there was this bush beside the building construction site, and Swami would pick up apples and oranges from the same bush, and he would give it to all of us. You know, he would tell it with so much awe that he was a witness to that event. Swami
miracle,
would, you know, from the same bush, Swami would pluck oranges and apples and give it to all of us. And then he said something which Kasturi was so surprised with, because he said, how I wished that he plucked a bottle of my favorite whiskey from that same bush.
There you go, Prem. You know, we were, I feel it's so apt here, because, you know, just now recollecting that incident, I was thinking about how all different kinds of people come to Swami. So here you see, while one says, you know, while there's one person who thinks that Swami is able to pluck out orange and apple from a bush, then will he not be able to grant me the highest wisdom, pluck it out and give it to me? That is one person who is thinking. And here's another person who is thinking, if he can pluck out orange and apple, why can't he pluck out my favorite brand of whiskey? Again, I forget that quote in Telugu, Yantra Matramu Yavru Talanchina Antamatrame Niku, where Swami says, how much ever is your capacity to hold, that much alone will you be given that grace. And that is why, you know, I was saying that we need to focus on our own efforts and ensure that we make best possible use of this grace. Let us expand this vessel of our heart so that we can carry His bountiful grace. Because all sorts of people come to Swami, but only a few benefit. And it is us to ensure that we are among those few who benefit.
And I think it's a perfect time to play that small clip of Swami, where Swami Himself explains this. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's a wonderful and very, very profound clip, because Swami says, you know, in that statement when Swami inaugurated the Prashanthalayam, if Swami says that this place can give you the ultimate peace, the reason why He's built it is for that. You know, the reason why I've made this ashram is to give you the ultimate. But if you are going to come here and seek pittance is what you will get. And I think that is the natural filter which Swami has put, and the question, why so many people come, but why only few
benefit.
You know, we should listen to this clip where Swami is quoting a small incident from the previous avatar and explain this apparent paradox, you know, in the avatar's ways.
At one time in Shirdi,
Dwaraka Mai Yaka Asanaku Mundu Metlapaina Kurchani Baba Kapar Nanyamulanu Tustu Kurchunnadu.
Before this Dwaraka Mai mantap is erected, Baba was watching the copper coins.
Yantamandi Bhaktulo Vechi Unnaru.
Many devotees were waiting.
Kani Yavarni Gamanchaledu.
But no, he didn't observe
anybody.
He is shifting the coins from one hand to another and watching. Though they waited for long, he didn't talk. No one talked.
Dama.
In the meantime, Dama came. The one who is always
Dama.
His name is Dama.
Dama వచ్చి బాబా ఏంటి ఇంతమంది కాచుకొని ఉంటున్నారు మీరు ఏదో ఆడుకుంటున్నారే ఇది ఏంటి దీని రహస్యము ఎందుకోసం ఈ కాయన్స్ అంతా ఈ విధంగా చూస్తున్నారు అని పరీక్షిస్తున్నారా అని ప్రశ్నించాడు.
Dama came and questioned, Baba, many are waiting for you. What is it that you are playing, shifting the coins from one hand to another? Are you examining them?
అప్పుడు చూచాడు.
Then he looked
at him. చూడు, ఒక్క కాయను కూడా సరిగా లేదు.
My son, not even one coin is genuine.
ఒకవైపున అక్షరాలు పోయినాయి.
On one side there are no letters.
మరొక వైపున రూపం పోయింది.
Another form there is no.
కొన్ని ముక్కలైపోయినాయి.
Some have lost.
కొన్ని సొట్టబడిపోయింది.
Disfigured.
కొన్ని క్రాకులు వచ్చినాయి.
Cracked.
కనుక దీన్ని నేను చూస్తూ ఉంటున్నాను, ఏది పనికి వస్తుంది అని.
I am watching these coins to find out which is genuine and useful.
పనికిరాని ఉంటే పారవేయండి, ఎందుకు దీన్ని చూడటం అన్నాడు ఈ దామ.
దామ సెట్ త్రో అవే విచ్ ఇస్ యూస్లెస్, దెన్ వై డు యు వాంట్ సో
లాంగ్. బేటా, చక్కగా అర్థం చేసుకో.
హి సెడ్ మై డియర్ సన్, అండర్స్టాండ్ క్లియర్లీ.
వస్తున్నారు ఇంతమంది భక్తులు.
సో మెనీ డివోటీస్ కమ్ హియర్.
ఇందులో ప్రతి ఒక్కరి ఎందుకును ఈ కాయిన్ మాదిరి సొట్టబోయినటువంటివి, ఏదో ఒక చెల్లనటువంటివి ఇలా కనిపిస్తున్నారే, కానీ ఒక్కరైనా నాకు అవసరమైన వారు కనిపించడం లేదు అన్నాడు.
So many devotees come here, they are like the coins on hand. Some are disfigured, some have lost the letters, some have lost everything, they are not genuine, some are useless. Kontha
mandi sambandhamainatti vanchalu korukovadaniki vastunnaru.
Some come here for worldly desires.
Kontha mandi pass kavalani vastunnaru.
Some come here to secure pass.
Vidyavantulu pass kavalani vastunnaru.
Students come here to pass.
Kontha mandi marriage kavalani vastunnaru.
Some come here to get married.
Kontha mandi udyogam kavalani vastunnaru.
Some come here for job.
Kontha mandi promotion kavalani vastunnaru.
Some come for promotion.
Andaru ee vidhangane okokaru okka korikato vastunnaru, kaani ఆత్మజ్ఞానం కావాలనేటువంటి కోరేటువంటి వాడు ఒక్కడైనా ఇందులో నాకు కనిపించలేదు.
మోస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ది పీపుల్ కమ్ హియర్ టు హ్యావ్ దేర్ డిజైర్స్ ఫుల్ఫిల్డ్, బట్ దే డోంట్ కమ్ హియర్ సీకింగ్ ద నాలెడ్జ్ ఆఫ్ ది స్పిరిట్.
వీరందరూ ఈ కాయిన్స్ మాదిరి ఉంటున్నారు, ఇందులో ఎవరు నాకు పనికి వస్తారా అని నేను చూస్తున్నాను అన్నాడు.
యు ఆర్ ఆల్ లైక్ దీస్ కాయిన్స్, ఐఎమ్ జస్ట్ ఎగ్జామినింగ్ విచ్ వన్ ఆఫ్ యూ ఆర్ యూస్ఫుల్.
ఇందులో ఒక్కరైనా చెప్పిన మాట వినేటువంటి వారు కాదు.
నాట్ ఈవెన్ వన్ వుడ్ ఒబే మీ.
మాకు స్వామి కావాలంటారు.
You say we want Swami.
Swami ఆజ్ఞను ఎంతవరకు మీరు పాటిస్తున్నారు?
To what extent you follow Swami's command?
పాటించలేనటువంటి సమయంలో ఇంకా భక్తి అనేటువంటిది ఎక్కడ ఉంది?
When you don't follow him, how can you call yourself a devotee?
దామాని పిలిచాడు. దామా, చూడు ఆ మామిడి మొక్క.
Then immediately he said, pointing the mango tree, he said, Dama, watch that.
బాగా పూలంతా కూడాను కాకులు కనిపించకుండా పూలు విచ్చింది.
And that mango tree was full of flowers that you can't see even the leaves there.
Chava enni puvulu untunnayi ee kurchamlo.
See how many flowers are there in the tree.
Katta kadapadiki enni kayalu kaastunnayi.
How many fruits you get ultimately?
Inka katta kadapadiki enni phalamulu aipothunnayi.
How many become ripe fruits?
Kavatam ledhu.
No.
మంచుకు కొన్ని పువ్వులంతా రాలిపోతున్నాయి.
సమ్ ఫ్లవర్స్ డ్రాప్ డౌన్.
గాలికి మరికొన్ని పువ్వులు రాలిపోతున్నాయి.
ఫర్ ద విండ్
కొన్ని పిందెలుగా పనుస్తున్నాయి.
సమ్ గోయింగ్ టు టెండర్.
ఈ పిందెలన్నీ కూడా రాలిపోతున్నాయి.
సమ్ డ్రాప్ ఫాల్ ఆఫ్.
కొన్ని కాయలుగా తయారవుతున్నాయి.
సమ్ గ్రోయింగ్ టు ఫ్రూట్.
ఈ కాయలు కూడా పచ్చలు కొరికి కింద రాలిపోతున్నాయి.
అండ్ దే ఆర్ ఈటెన్ అవే బై బర్డ్స్.
కొన్ని ముడతల కొరికి కింద రాలిపోతున్నాయి.
అండ్ సమ్ డాగ్స్
ఆల్సో ఈట్ దెం. పండేటి విన్నో.
అల్టిమేట్లీ వి డోంట్
గెట్. నిజంగా ఈ పువ్వులన్నీ కాయలైపోతే ఇన్ని కాయలను ఆ వృక్షం మోయగలదా?
In fact, if all the flowers are to grow into fruits, can that bear the weight of that fruit?
అదే విధంగానే ఒకానొక సమయంలో వేమన కూడాను ప్రశ్నించుకున్నాడు.
వేమన ఆల్సో సెడ్ అట్ వన్ టైమ్ సేమ్ క్వశ్చన్.
అయ్యా, రాళ్లంతా దేవుళ్ళైతే రాజులంతా మింగరా అన్నాడు.
If all the stones are the presiding deities, don't you swallow them?
అదే విధంగానే వచ్చిన వారందరూ భక్తులేగినైపోతే ప్రశాంతి నీళ్ళ స్థలమే ఉంటుండదు ఇంకా.
If all those that we see visit Prashantalam are devotees, there will be no space in
Prashantalam.
All that come here are not devotees.
Sai matanu nachina vare bhaktulu. Mataku nachina vare.
Those that follow his command, those that release
his message. Therefore,
there is a constant search for
devotees.
I have been searching.
That was that beautiful clip, and you know, the wonderful way with Swami ended it. Not everybody who comes as a devotee, but those who take a liking to my message, those who take a liking to my command, they alone can be my devotee. I think nothing more to say than that. Dear listeners, very often we all find this is a question which props in our mind, you know, because, you know, I mean, a lot of people come to Swami based on somebody else's faith. Now, there would have been a Balvikas guru who inspired you. There would have been an elder in your neighborhood who would have inspired you. And when you find their faith shakes during their times of trials or tribulations, you find your faith shaking along with it. I think this is the thing which happens with a lot of people. You know, there are people who have come here seeing other students, and when they find that they are not able to hold on to Swami,
when their ideals and their heroes shake, so they feel that, oh, mine is also shaking. Correct.
And I think that is exactly what Swami is saying here. Base your love on me. Base your love on my words. Base your love on my commands. And the sooner than later you move towards Swami's message, I think that is the easiest way to remain devotees till the very end, until you see the completion of this journey.
Exactly, Prem. You know, often when after the immediately after the Mahasamadhi, during most of my the chances when I got to give talks, people would ask me, what is the Central Trust doing? How is Central Trust? How is Prashanthi Nilayam Ashram? And my answer would be just this. I would ask, till now when you came to Puttaparthi, for what did you come? For Swami. Did you ask what is Central Trust doing? Did you ask how is Ashram running? Did you ask any of these? No. You were focused on Swami and Swami was your focus, right? Why should it change now? It changes now only because if you are convinced that Swami is no longer there and therefore we have to concentrate on other things. If you have the firm conviction that the omnipresent Sai is always here, not because of any other thing, but because Swami himself has said, Swami himself has written that the vibrations of Sati Sai is forever. Then even to this day, you continue your visit as your pilgrimage. You come, imbibe Swami, don't bother about anything else, because in the end, only what is between you and Swami matters. Other things, how much ever important they may seem, do not matter even a little bit. The only thing that matters is our relationship with Swami, and we should spend every moment of our life, every breath of our life, every little iota of energy in our lives to strengthen this relationship and enjoy this beautiful love.
So that, dear listeners, brings us to the end of this week's afternoon satsang. And we hope we have really kindled a little bit of desire in each one of you to come to Prashanthi Nilayam and, you know, make this an annual event, because this is nothing short of living with Swami. Because as we said, Swami has invested so much of himself in this place and that mandir, because it is magical. Even recently we published an article of Dr. Rajneesh Talwar, you know, where he says that he found an infinite ocean of bliss in his heart when he came and sat here and saw Swami for the first time. And I think that is the thing which Swami is here to give for everybody. Its only thing is we have to come here and ask for that. If this is the abode of peace, this is the repository of peace, there is no point coming here and asking for something else. So with that, dear listeners, we'll conclude this segment of Afternoon Satsang by offering this little effort of ours at Bhagwan's lotus feet. We'll join you next week. We'll continue with the same Satyam Shyam Sundaram, the inauguration of the Prashanthi Nilayam Ashram. Thank you. Jai Sai Ram.
बसे सबके भगवान प्रशांति निलयम ऐसा धाम जहां बसे सबके भगवान साई राम साई राम साई राम साई श्याम साई श्याम साई श्याम
साई राम साई राम साई राम
प्रशांति निलयम ऐसा धाम जहां बसे सबके भगवान
साईं को देखो या सब धर्मों का एक स्वरूपा साईं को देखो या स्तूपा कोई नहीं है तेरे समान कोई नहीं है तेरे समान प्रशांति निलयम ऐसा धाम जहां बसे सबके भगवान साईं राम साईं राम साईं राम साईं श्याम साईं श्याम साईं श्याम
साईं राम साईं राम साईं राम श्याम साईं श्याम साईं श्याम
जाते सारे पाप यहीं कट जाते भेदभाव सबके मिट जाते सारे पाप यहीं कट जाते करते जाओ साईं ध्यान करते जाओ साईं ध्यान प्रशांति निलयम ऐसा धाम जहां बसे सबके भगवान साईं राम साईं राम साईं राम साईं श्याम साईं श्याम साईं श्याम
साईं राम साईं राम साईं राम
सच्चा ज्ञान प्रेम शांति का सच्चा ज्ञान प्रशांति निलयम ऐसा धाम जहां बसे सबके भगवान साईं राम साईं राम साईं राम साईं श्याम साईं श्याम साईं श्याम
साईं राम साईं राम Sai Ram, 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 Sai Sham, Sai Sham, Sai Sham.